Micro expressions are the tiny little footprints of emotion that we leave behind. Entering a room, leaving a room, talking to superiors, talking to teammates, and their physical identifiers that express how we really feel in everyday life. Like when your eyelid lifts up right before you're about to tell a really good lie about why you need to malinger from work to go on vacation, or maybe before you're having to give some construction feedback over a teammate right there, or whether you're a coach and you're in a room full of others and you're trying to help people get to their goals, all of those facial tics can be the true meaning of how folks actually feel. It's important for us to be a little bit better with our emotional intelligence to help people out of discomfortable situations. And to do that, we need to master the art of micro expressions and have a great week doing so on a TGIM, going in strong this week, leaving the weekend behind, sprinting as fast as we can away from that. Even if it was an exceptional weekend, we have work to do. Ego killer show, motivation, and that's what our hope is right here. I'm going to break down the book, too, by Joe Navarro, What Everybody Body is Saying. And this guy is a counterintelligence officer, former, and a nonverbal communicator. And of course, this comes off the heels of an exceptional boxing fight over the weekend. There's a lot of fights here locally. There was a lot, and on TV there was a lot, and in the last few weeks there was a lot, and this weekend it was really one of those chess matches. And maybe you guys feel in general that working with certain coworkers, teams that you've built, maybe you're in the gym with coaches, maybe you are a coach, that there is some gamesmanship sometimes, or an attention to the way that you're feeling that maybe you're not expressing well enough to your superiors. Maybe they're not expressing it well enough to you. And in order to do that, we need to crack that code. The code of what does that face mean? What kind of face is that? Right? And so micro expressions, this is a cool term that we're going to drop on and off today on the show. So before we get into it any deeper, let's break it all the way down. Let's go. Well, there's nothing subtle about what you can find on the website, CoachJohanCSCS.com, Jump Start Nutrition Program. Download that and you have yourself all the non-ambiguous answers you could ever want right there. Thinking about micro expressions brings me back to a very specific moment. And I thought it was hilarious, and it was also very like intimidating, and also just put me on a meta with like a bunch of fighters that I was just not on the same league with in terms of skill and ability. I was definitely there with effort, but they were a step above, a cut above when it came to that skill displacement, that skill level. I was working with two guys in particular that were about my height, right? And I'm pretty sure that I outweighed both of them, which never happens. For me being my height in a competitive field, in a fitness kind of arena or activity, usually your boy is like in the middle of the curve, maybe even like light. I'm usually probably more muscular, but weight-wise, like I said, a stiff breeze in the middle of a California winter, I start shivering. Like there's not enough fat on my bony self, just muscle, to keep me from shivering. So I usually am a little bit lighter when you talk about that height. And remember one day we're all in the gym sparring, world-class gym, and we're all upstairs. And the folks that I was working with at this particular time, the coach invited me in. Invited me in personally to come help a couple of his dudes work for a huge competition in the Midwest. And it was one of those competitions that is awarded at the national level. All right, so I come in just because I'm a big body and I'm a tough, you know, tough competitor. I have good hands. This is all Muay Thai, though. This is all kicks and knees, elbows. And like I said, I had somebody there that was about my height. He weighed maybe 20 pounds less than me or something like that, and maybe in the 160s. And yeah, I put a couple of hard right crosses to that jaw a few times. Of course, this is back in the day where I was kind of not really equipped with the idea that, yo, one good punch doesn't equal anything. That means nothing to the flurry of kicks, punches, knees, etc. that can come your way second. I was still learning. So landed my shots. They were good. Rung his bell a little bit. Remember coach said, okay, and you got your bell rung to the guy. And I remember thinking like, yeah. And then there was this other guy that came in. All right. This other dude named Philip. This other guy came through. Name was Philip. He was from like Eastern Europe somewhere. I had a thick accent, bald head. He was probably my height, but he weighed probably 20 pounds less than me. Like I said, never happens that I'm the taller one, but also the heaviest one in the room. Like, I don't live this heavyweight life. When I used to, early when I was doing competitions, I would always, that would actually affect me because I'd always end up fighting guys that were heavier than me because, just because. And I was always, I probably could have dropped more weight and to go into a different weight class, whatever. But the point was, here comes Philip, and Philip's huge. Philip's scary. Philip, I think you guys heard me mention time and time again, maybe a couple times, would tie up his gear with duct tape. All right. Scary dude. And whenever me and the guy I was working with, his name was John. Me and John was the one going to competition. Philip was a member of the team going back a while, but he was less active these days. They brought him back too to help because, again, national competition. And anyway, John would get tuned up by Philip. Me, I would get tuned up by Philip because Philip was long, wiry, and hyper, hyper aggressive. He once pushed me because I was getting tired out of the way to finish my round when I was working with the guys, working with John. There's only about 10 of us in this room. I was working with John. He had way more stamina and conditioning than I did. He moved me out of the way to finish sparring John. No headgear. I don't even think he had his mouthpiece, and they were going full tilt. John had all of his gear. Philip didn't. Point is, dude was a monster. And never forget, the coach said, you know why he kicks your asses every round, no matter what you guys try? Because you're both afraid of him. And he can see that, and he's feeding on your fear. And I only laughed, and me and John kind of looked at each other real quick and smirked, another micro expression. And it was like, oh yeah, he's totally right. But the idea that he can look and see that, and I could totally agree that he was feeding on the fear, made me think, wow, that's how much it's important when it comes to that particular fight sport. I can read a little bit of what you're really thinking just by the expression you make. And in the particular case of fighting, that makes some people turn up, right? That bloodlust. Oh, now it's time to go in on you when I know you're on your back foot. Well, that doesn't really help us in the boardroom. No one needs that. That doesn't help us when we're working with our teams, but it can, because there are vulnerabilities that we show when we have, when we're trying to hide our expression. And that's where micro expressions actually come in. It was a guy named Paul Ekman. All right, back in the 60s, he'd come up with these ideas that said, what we really feel when we're asked a question, when we're tasked with something and we're communicating for a specific purpose. Ekman kind of thought like, yo, your original idea, all right, your original idea is coded in emotions and are totally involuntary. So if, you know, you got someone that says, you have someone on your team and you're asking them like, can you help me rewrite my opening presentation or part of it? And they have no desire to do so, leading to some uncomfort. And look, that's all right, but we need to be able to support each other sometimes. It's impossible for them to hide their disdain or disgust for what you just asked them in a brief, momentary, subconscious second. And that's a micro expression. All right. Because according to Ekman and according to the Navarro book that we're going to talk about a little bit, these are areas that an observant viewer will see, and that person is actually a little bit uncomfortable in negotiations, in therapies, in coaching, in interrogations, I guess, things like that. can really, really show the true emotion. And how dope is that at the end of the day? Because this is some kind of like, you know, evolutionary like skill or process. All right. And they lend to nonverbal communication. Huge part of our communication is nonverbal. Being able, I guess, to be aware of these signals make us better teammates. They make us better coaches. They make us better leaders in negotiation and sales. Help us build trust a lot better in emotional intelligence. So I was watching that fight this weekend, and you had two of the biggest young boxers showing out for each other, and it was an upset. We had an upset. And early in the fight, you had a young Ryan Garcia hook off on Devin Haney, and having Devin Haney never really being able to. And in round one, he actually staggered old buddy. So Devin Haney is about to hit the floor in round one. And I mean, it came early. Within a minute and a half, it already looked like this one was about to be over with the quicks. Devin Haney was over there skating, something that you'd never really seen from old buddy before. I mean, he had been hit hard a few times, Linares, and in other spots. But early in that fight, what you saw was Ryan Garcia pull out some great hits. And then what happened after that to me was hyper interesting and alludes to the micro expression kind of phenomenon. I thought he imploded. I was like, yo, he couldn't finish him. And then he kind of backed all the way off. All the way off. Didn't do anything about it for a few rounds and allowed Haney to come back and find his rhythm. Up to that point, I would have said he imploded. Like, the moment got too big, the adrenaline kind of dumped. But what was going on was Buddy was really reading the expressions of his embattled opponent in front of him long enough to take an unbelievable win. We love to watch fighting, and I use it as an example a lot of the time. Sparring stories galore on this ego killer motivation, because a lot of what goes on in that world has a lot to do with micro expressions. It has a lot to do with what I think you are showing me that you're really not. In that world, it's all about gamesmanship. It's all about what I want to show that I'm hiding. It's the opposite of what it would be in the real world. In the real world, you want to always be frontward facing. You want to be at least honest and presentable with your intentions. Your intentions always lead the way. And to hide them is oftentimes not temporary. It's very temporary. We do it for specific reasons, not to lose face, not to lose our self-worth in spots. If we're being tasked with something we perceive as too difficult, I don't want to lose my position, I'm going to hide how I really feel about it. And that's where those micro expressions start to come in. They are kind of taught when we're talking about coaching, when we're talking about pushing ourselves to the limit. And when I'm working with you, man, I read those microaggressions like the Sunday paper. I can see how uncomfortable you guys might get if we have certain body fat goals and you haven't hit them. If I see that you guys have struggled in the last week with your eating, I can see when you guys tell me that you're eating one way, and I know for a fact you were drinking another way altogether, and you just didn't tell me about that second part. It enhances, or at least is a big part of my interpersonal communication with you guys, and is a cornerstone of how you enjoy the world of combat sports right there. And I think it's hyper interesting or important. Even going back to that whole buildup of that fight, everybody thought Ryan Garcia was just doing all the drugs, all the illicit powders that you could cram into a nostril and send flying into your bloodstream at breakneck speeds. They thought this boy was on all the things, only it was a troll job. At the end of the day, it looked like Rye guy was playing the fool, because everybody wanted him to play the fool. There is a little bit of psychology there. Like, you have a young guy, very popular, extremely gifted with the art of social media. He may be playing too much into those people. For what? For a bigger bag? to prove people who live and die in the comment section of videos and Instagrams, to prove them wrong. Like, it just doesn't seem worth it at all. Whether or not he is in a space of crisis in his personal life doesn't seem to be worth it to play around with that just to prove some people wrong or to make them seem foolish after your victory. But whatever. This is a new breed of man that's coming along the way. This is a breed of youngster that has no idea what the world is like without having a cell phone attached at the hip. And many of you are in the same place. The read was what's important. The gamesmanship that he was putting on to actually buy in or have people bite on the idea that he was all over the place, not thinking straight and doing all those things, actually helped. People are starting to believe him win that fight because he ain't really focused on the thing. He's not going to be focused when it really counts, when the lights are the brightest. And that's why we love fighting. And that's what we can learn from the art of gamesmanship and what type of honesty we withhold and why we withhold it. We're going to dive a little bit more into the book. I'm going to say yes or no to some of these concepts that were inside the book, and I'm going to be able to then dole out some advice to you guys to let you know, yes, we should be looking for micro expressions in this way, and this is really, you know, this is really you guys concealing some feelings, or no, not at all, not at all. You guys might be joining me in this camp. Right, I always believe that when someone asks you how you're feeling, right off the top, your goal isn't to answer super duper fast. We all do it. It's part of the social fabric. How you doing? What's up? What's good? Right? It's like, oh, I'm great. And whether or not you're great, it doesn't really answer my question. It's simply a greeting. Right? Those are platitudes. Those things just exist. I'm not someone that bases everything that I believe about you guys, how you're feeling, based on the first 7 seconds of what you say back to me. I just think that's foolish. I think that, you know, we have these giant organs in between our ears. They're capable of all these computations that happen at lightning pace, faster than any supercomputer. Your brain capable of processing everything in the world. And when somebody asks you, hey, how you feeling today? You say, ugh, good, right? What you really want to be like is there's an existential conundrum going on inside of my days. And it all began, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much processing that actually goes on. And I've always been somebody that relies more on that processing when I meet you guys. Maybe because I'm not a small talker. And that's my way of kind of understanding more about people. Because, you know, for me, I just like to understand more about you guys, not less. And the small talk helps me understand less. So the long talk for me is always about understanding more. It's curious by nature that way. Point is, also professionally, those first 7 seconds, those platitudes, they don't matter. They don't really matter. It's a call and response that leads nowhere. Whereas what goes on afterward is all about the person you are and the life you've been leading in the last, you know, 3 to 5 days, maybe 2 weeks, that matter inside your life. So we're talking about micro expressions where I'm supposed to understand that first cue that you give me is the real, whereas everything else after that is controlled. And if it's controlled and uncomfortable, it's probably manufactured. I'm encouraging you guys to make sure that whatever we're doing when we read micro expressions, whether we're replying them ourselves, that we're consistent. And one of the most intriguing parts about this is I know how hard it is, you guys, when you're on your game. You're trying to lose weight. You're trying to lose body fat. It comes up short sometimes. It's just not that easy. And the tendency is to do the thing that is described in many an atmosphere song, a atmosphere rhyme that's, yo, at work, they don't want to see me in a bad mood. So what I do is I put on all of this, right? I put on all of this. I put on a face. I put on a veneer of somebody moving because I got to be productive and get the job done. But what I want to encourage you guys to do that's helped me in my life at times and belies all this about microexpressions is drop that mask. Drop that mask. Be consistent. Be consistent with how you really feel when you're asked to overperform for yourself on something that you're not used to, knowing that you could get that work. When you're asked, maybe you're a coach and you ask for other people's input, advice, reaction on how their week's been going with changing their life. Knowing that, yo, I'm gonna ask again later, or I need you guys to drop the mask. You guys, especially, not wearing the mask of, hey man, I feel down today. Let me put on this mask. Well, especially lately, it's become way more acceptable and it's become way more palatable for you guys to just move about your life in the way that you're going to do without wearing a mask. So you're a little down today. You ain't got to tell everybody, right? You're a little bit lost today. Maybe you're in a place where you don't know what your next step in your life is going to be. Feeling ambivalent. Don't put on that ugly ass mask, that sticker book smile. These things tend, I've seen from you guys a lot, because most of you that I've seen over the years, you can peel that away. You know how to live for the emotions of today, get the most results. Fully entrenched in what the goals are, dropping the mask. Fully entrenched in the results that happen, plus or minus, willing to engage in plus or minus behavior. Okay, I took an L this week. Let me jump back on it next week because I took the L. Whereas if we got that mask on all the time, even though it is hard to pull it down, this isn't like a real one of those, like, this ain't no real Halloween mask. You rip that thing off. This is something that we've built and reinforced, and we give these impressions in a daily to hide our disgust, even our happiness sometimes, our surprise and contempt. These things help us go through life all the time. But often what I see from you guys is that it totally prevents progress personally. Alludes to me that you guys haven't really taken the personal, intrinsic, motivational drive to get that work, to get those goals done. This week, dropping that mask, making sure we're making every effort to notice when we're doing it, when others are doing it. Staying as closely consistent with our micro expressions as humanly possible. So from the book, number one, we get an enhanced interpersonal communication. Look, I don't need to know everything that you're thinking at all given times, but I do need to know that we're good. Not just you and me, not just you and your teammates, right? For my purposes, but for the greater good. That everybody is on a level. We're taking care of each other. We're taking care of each other. We do such a poor job of taking care of each other in society in any event on a daily basis. Many times we can walk right past someone suffering all the time. And it doesn't have to be a really noticeable suffering too. Could be a micro expression suffering, but we are so easily capable of walking past that person instead of doing what is actually pretty easy to do. We think it's super hard because we've kind of taught ourselves to ignore these signs of suffering. What's pretty easy to do is just simply reach out. Be a little bit of positivity for somebody else real quick. That could actually help change a whole lot of the thinking that leads to a whole lot of change in someone's life who is suffering. And you ain't got to do a whole lot. Number two, talking about improved personal relationships. Knowing how to read body language can help determining trustworthiness and sincerity in others. Like some of those truth wizards. Did you ever hear of those truth wizards? I might have some of this inside of me where I'm able to tell from a young age, like what a lie or what truths were being told in general, man. It has led, I think, to me being a lot better at what I do on a daily basis. Not that there are lies. I think there are different tiers of lies. So I'm not calling anybody liars in that way, which to me is super egregious. Instead, what I am saying is it's important that we establish sincerity and trustworthiness in other people. And one of the most interesting things is like what I think is trustworthy in you, someone else might not see it at all. But it's still important that we establish sincerity. We define it for ourselves. What I think is sincere in this person might not exist in that person, but that doesn't mean that I don't find sincerity in that second person. I know what sincerity is, and I feel like we can do a much better job figuring that out. Figuring out how that honesty is, not picking and choosing on our interpersonal relationships. And it builds that emotional intelligence right there. And heck, let's talk about it. We talk about professional advantages right there. These things can help us build a lot of skills. Inside the book, we talk about limbic honesty. The limbic system is responsible for the instant feelings about people and situations before the conscious mind has a chance to edit and control them. You guys buy that or believe in that? Like I told just now, I think that there is something to be said about processing. When I ask you how you are, I know you're not going to give me the real answer right there. Like, you know what I mean? Like you could have had the worst. You could have some medical issue that's just draining you. I hope you don't, but you could just, and I would never know. And you're not about to go out there and tell me, you know what I'm saying? Or tell old buddy at the store when you're buying a bottle of ginger ale. That's not going to happen. There are reasons definitely to not spill all of our messiness sometimes on other people. And that's just out of respect. What do you guys think about that limbic honesty, right? This is unconscious body signals. And lastly, we can talk about high pressure situations, how crucial nonverbal signals can be in negotiations and in other situations where it's important that I'm able to read the room, read the signals of my teammates, of your teams, if you're a coach, and those situations right there. What do you guys think about that? Body language is hyper important in the world of sparring, in the world of fitness, in the world of coaching. With you guys, when you're making deals, when you're communicating with partners, when you're communicating with people in other companies, it's hyper important. All right, my friends, I'm going to leave you right there. It's important we start to decipher what emotion is, what it feels like, and what it looks like. That way we can be better with each other right there. And I need to be able to read you. You read me. And let's just trust from the gut that we're being up on game with each other. Game recognizes game, and dropping that mask, no matter how tough it might feel to walk around feeling a little exposed, but that's a good thing because it allows us to deal with that and to personalize that for ourselves. You guys, TGIM, have an excellent week. And until the next one, stay all the way up.